When preparing a sermon, I use some checks and balances. I send my sermon to a friend who is a gifted theologian, and I send my sermon to a friend who is a gifted editor. And this week, the editor pointed out that the title I have in the bulletin this morning for this sermon, which is Discipleship and Community, probably isn't the most accurate title. Instead, the title should be A People on the Move. And they made this suggestion because just about a week ago, I was reading a book about moving, the Berenstain Bears book, Moving Day. Yes, a children's book just a week ago. And in the book, Papa Bear tells Brother Bear that they are moving from their mountain cave with its leaky pipes, its crumbling foundation, and its dark corners into a new home in the valley, a treehouse. And Brother Bear is a little concerned, so he begins to ask Mama Bear and Papa Bear if he could bring his books with him, if he could bring his toys with him, if he could bring his friends with him, if he would be comfortable in their new home, and if he would make new friends in the valley. He asked if he would be comfortable in his new home. And that is the sole concern for Brother Bear. Will he be comfortable? He had gotten used to the leaky pipes and the crumbling foundation and the dark corners. For Brother Bear, it didn't matter where their house would be. The challenge was adjusting to a new place and a new way of living. And as you well may know, moving is always lengthy, difficult, and uncomfortable. If you've ever moved to a new place, you know that it can be hard to adjust to new things, like new rhythms, new habits, new patterns, new surroundings, new traffic, new friends, and a new community all make moving hard. But we still forge ahead anyways with the hopeful expectation that with time these new things will become normal and comfortable. From the earliest chapters of the Bible, God has set his people apart. We see in Genesis that Abram was called to leave his house, his neighborhood, his land, and go to a new place that God would show him. And then in Exodus, Moses is called to lead the people of Israel out of bondage and into freedom. Setting God's people apart, God shows to them a new way of living, a deeper and richer way to see the world and to interact with one another. We as Christians have historically been a people on a move towards God. And as Frosty mentioned just a moment ago, our scripture lesson picks up when Jesus and the disciples are still on the mountainside. And Jesus is speaking with the disciples, and he goes on to explain and expand some of the commandments. But this understanding isn't necessarily comfortable for the disciples because it's a call to a higher standard. In particular, Jesus is speaking about Christian community and how we are to interact and treat one another. Jesus calls his disciples away from sinful thoughts and actions and into a new place, a place of reconciliation. In verse 21, Jesus says to the disciples, "You may have heard it said to the people of old, do not murder." And I think that the disciples would have known this command as it is part of the Ten Commandments. And in fact, it was actually written on stone. It's an immovable truth of Christianity. But what Jesus does is to go and to explain and expand, to clarify what this commandment means. What he says is that murder is wrong, and so too are angry thoughts aimed at another person that have no foundation or any righteousness to them. In this, Jesus is pointing out that thoughts can damage and destroy another person. They can act as murder of the heart. And so in this, we see that Jesus is moving the disciples to a new place, not a physical place, but in terms of how they should live and how they are to treat one another. As Christians, we are called by God to be on the move to new places in the relationships that we have. Certainly, this new understanding that Jesus is giving to the disciples wouldn't have been the most comfortable of things. Jesus was moving his people to a new place, a place of richer understanding, of seeing the world with a fuller perspective, one that understands community in a new way, and one that recognizes both actions and thoughts can be sinful and will be judged. That we can disobey God's will is an alarming truth, because it means that we are a disobedient people. And this reality is self-evident, because if we were perfect, we would never get anything wrong. We wouldn't ever say anything that would damage another person, and we wouldn't ever do anything to subjugate or to objectify another person. No one would ever be profaned by the things that we said. And if we weren't a disobedient people, a broken people, there would be absolutely no reason for Jesus Christ to have come to earth and taken upon himself our sins and the sins of the world so that we might be reconciled to God. But the good news is Jesus has come to this world. And he has come because our actions and our thoughts can disobey the will of God and can hurt other people. And in our brokenness, we often treat people disrespectfully. And at times, instead of honoring people, we get angry with one another over trivial matters, and then we go on to fan those cinders into a blazing fire. Our thoughts and our actions can be disobedient, and they often reflect that truth. And this is what Jesus is calling us away from in the Gospel of Matthew this morning. But Jesus isn't just pointing out that we are a broken people with broken thoughts and actions. In verse 24, Jesus says to the disciples, "Be reconciled." I think what he's getting at is if the heartbeat of a community is inappropriate anger, unmanaged lustful thoughts, or hateful words, then it really isn't a community at all. It's just a collection of people with self-interest in mind. When Jesus says to the disciples, "Be reconciled," he is pointing out that reconciliation is one of the linchpins of Christian community. Reconciliation holds Christian community together in deep and in rich ways. It's actually what sets Christians apart as God's people. Not only are we called away from our sinful actions and thoughts, but we are called into a community of reconciliation, a community that understands reconciliation is a new way of life. And so in reconciliation and in community, when we do something to wrong our neighbor or we do something that is counter to the will of God, we admit those things to God and to the people and we reconcile ourselves with them. But reconciliation is difficult and it's very hard. Just like Brother Bear, just like it was for Brother Bear to move from his old house to his new house, reconciliation is hard. We have to move from the place that we are comfortable in to a place that we are uncomfortable in, a place of change. So what does Jesus mean when he tells the disciples, be reconciled? What Jesus is saying to both the disciples and to us, reconciliation means to come together for meaningful change, to end needless hostility, to move from enmity to friendship, to change from malice to friendship. And that is what reconciliation is. And it is what we as Christians are called to move towards. But as I mentioned earlier, being reconciled isn't always easy to navigate. It can be like adjusting to stairs and corners in a new home that we have recently bought. In the old home, the foundation was crumbling, but we were used to it. The new home is solid, but we aren't yet used to it. So reconciliation takes intention, like the careful placing of a foot on the last step before the floor. It also takes perception, like feeling your way down the hallway in the darkness of light to the bathroom that is now on the left side of the hallway instead of the right side as it was in the old house. It also takes time, like learning how to operate the new appliances in the home. But no matter how hard reconciliation is, Jesus has called us into this new place. A new community where reconciliation is a way of life, the way that we see the world. A reconciling community is a deeper and a richer community. It is a community that Jesus has called us to move into. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.